You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Cooligans.
Cooligans, back at it.
Yeah. A little bit of a change of scenery. We're doing this out of your place today.
We are. Brooklyn's a little different.
Yeah, than, a little different than the Upper West.
Upper West. But I got to show you around a little bit, so that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun, man. We went to a great little bar and everything right before this and had some very nice iced teas, I'll say.
Yeah, well, I had iced tea. Yeah.
Well, some of us tried the beer.
you know, some of us have a problem. We're not...
But we ate a pretty good burger.
Addressing.
Yeah, see how I'm trying to... Actually, the burger's probably also a problem, now that I think about it.
The reason
I brought that up is because you and I went and we ate the Pierlo sandwich.
That's right. Yeah, food has been a big part of our life the last week and a half.
You're
or
just
so.
Letting me take the wheel.
Yes, yeah, you're basically holding my hand, guiding me through this wonderful world of cuisine.
Yeah. I think we've mentioned this before. We had the very famous burrito conversation.
Yeah, oh, man.
Previously.
Shook the streets, that burrito conversation. It caused a civil war,
right.
Pretty much, of people eating burritos a way that they feel is perfectly fine. And then the other side is people who are highly critical of people who eat burritos.
Sure, we could put it that way. I will allow that to be stated. I mentioned then that I had... saved the criticism of it for a personal conversation with my wife
behind my back
about you, and she went and told you.
That's right.
But when we went and ate the Pierlo sandwich, you ate like a pro, I will say.
I did. It was
you finished the whole thing, which I didn't think you were gonna do.
I did. It was. I mean, 3/4 of it, I would say that was like my max.
Yeah.
You know, I was very full. I didn't want any more food.
Really? And you powered through.
And I powered through. You know, that shows my commitment to this project, to the Cooligans, and the intense pressure I put on myself to succeed. So
thank you. Then your dedication is duly noted. We were going to go half and half, I think. At first, we thought about it.
Yeah.
But you're only allowed to buy whole subs for the Pierlo. You can only buy a whole version.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, most of their other subs you could buy a half version of. This one was a whole only.
Okay.
I didn't want to go half and half because, God forbid, you got the bigger half. I think that was my real issue.
It almost would have felt a little unfulfilling if it was just half.
Yeah.
It was that good. You wanted...
And that's why I'm glad you said it, because it was really good.
It really was.
You know, normally when there's like kitschy sandwiches that are named after someone, it's not really... You know, it's just like, oh, it's just a sandwich. We put a bunch of stuff together. This very well thought out.
Yeah. And also, we made a video about this.
That's why we're talking about it.
So we made...
I'm talking about just because it was a great sandwich.
Go on YouTube, look up Cooligans TV, youtube.com/soccercooligans. You can see the Pierlo sandwich taste test. And, I mean, we have to give some recognition, most of the recognition, the applause... to Alexis Guerreros.
If you really,
there's no other person on earth, I think, that could deliver the instruction, the presentation of this sandwich to the world. You are like the perfect person to do it. So him and I, we went to Number 7 Subs, who were incredibly welcoming. They were super nice to us.
Super awesome. Yeah, I mean, we didn't schedule it beforehand to film. We just showed up.
We walked in with our camera.
We already shot our intro out front without telling anyone.
They could have told us, no, we don't want you to film anything.
And what I realized was they could totally see us from the window. They must have been like, who are these two guys filming stuff?
We were outside preparing. We did the intro essentially for the video without any real permission.
No.
It's a public street.
We can
do whatever we want.
But
we walked in, camera and sound equipment in hand, and we're like, yo, we're filming.
Yeah.
Let me get back there. No, we didn't do that.
We did come in with like camera equipment. We have like lav mics on.
Exactly. And we said,
we were mic'd up and we're like, hey, you guys don't mind if we film ourselves in here? And they were like, why? And we're like, oh, we're going to taste the Pierlo sandwich. But we want to get our reaction on camera.
Exactly.
And the lady's like, well, I don't want to be on camera. And she turns around and there's like this dude who works in the kitchen who has like the coldest stare I think I've seen in a very long time outside of an arm wrestling game. challenge.
Well, most people who work at, you know, sandwich shops probably don't get that question very often.
Yeah,
so it's like, wait, what's this for?
Yeah, and they were like, she was like, do you mind being filmed? And he didn't say or do anything. He just, his eyes got a little like more disapprovingly wider. And that's when I think you said, just your hands. We just want to get the sandwich. And he was like, okay,
good.
Then yes.
I got no warrant. I'm good. So we
very intimidating, dude.
We filmed and the video is up and it's been getting very positive feedback.
Yeah, tons of positive feedback. A lot of people very interested in the video, which is awesome.
Which is and that's what's cool. It's like we're bringing, you know, we tried to bring, you know, comedy and soccer and unite those two.
Yeah.
You know, Comedy Soccer United. That's a new team.
But when you do that, you get hungry.
That happens. Yeah, that happens quite often.
Yeah, especially when I'm around.
And now we have this, this third tier of Comedy Soccer and food.
Comedy Soccer Comida.
Which works well together. You'd be surprised.
Comedia Comida. It almost sounds the same
pretty
in
close.
Spanish.
And yeah, and it's like, you know, when I was editing the video, and
which you did an amazing job of.
Thanks, man. But when I was putting it together, I had this like new interest in like, oh, cool. This is like, I want to present this sandwich in a way that will make people want to eat it.
And boy, did you. I mean, we've been getting tweets about it. We've been getting messages about it. People have been very positive about it. Howler and Number 7 Sub. Don't care, but everyone else.
We'll make them care.
Yeah.
We'll make them love us.
Yeah, whether they like it or not. NYCFC, yet to retweet anything we've done, even though everything we do is for them.
Yeah. It's like we're basically doing, you know, it's like, Daddy, pay attention to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they
which, again, I'm going on 30 plus years doing. So,
so meaning you had a lot of practice with
that. Yeah. I mean, this is old hat for me at this point. Speaking of old hat, might be my dad, an old hat. We don't know.
Your father, I don't get the joke.
Yeah. Oh, just saying we don't know who he is.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, I know who he is. I know who my dad is.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were going to do the old, I know who your dad is. It's me. Yeah, stupid dad.
But it's been exciting. It's been a good,
It's been a good run so far. I mean, again, we're just trying to give you guys something a little different than, you know, just interviewing people as they walk by and,
yeah,
you know, we have some other stuff planned that we're talking about doing that involve a lot more production. So we do the easiest stuff first. Eat a sandwich on camera. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Is it easy, though?
I think so. I mean, not the execution you put forth was amazing. I did my job, which was explain to you the components of the sandwich and how.
Boy, did you.
Yeah, I think I've impressed and upset a couple of people. Impressed everyone, upset my wife. Yeah. Sort of explaining where, you know, fresh mozzarella. I like how you put in the mutz.
Yeah.
That's very funny. That is constantly heard in the New York, New Jersey area or whatever it said. That's what I grew up calling it.
This sandwich definitely, it's a positive thing to look forward to when it comes to NYCFC, but because when it comes to recent games.
Yeah, there hasn't been much on the pitch.
Well, we had the previous game was great.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, Pete Lee really chose the best game to come to.
Oh, wait, no, the previous game was actually Columbus against Columbus Crew, and that was a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw.
But the most recent home game was delightful and one of the best days I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then this recent LA Galaxy loss. Oof.
That was tough. Why don't we talk about that when we come back from break?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. So before we go out on break, if you get a chance, I would suggest go check out youtube.com/soccercooligans. We have the Pirlo taste test up. If you don't live in New York and you want to know what the Pirlo sandwich looks like, if you guys are listening to this from Europe or whatnot, check it out. It's an awesome sandwich. You can see what it looks like. You can see us eating it. I kind of explain where some of the food products inside of it comes from.
The video itself is worth... I feel like after your description of the sandwich and your just introducing the sandwich to people will literally make them salivate.
I hope so. I mean, that's my goal. My goal is that I'm not the only one who wants to eat
even it. While I was putting the video together... I was like, wow, this is going to make people hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like as comedians, that's not a goal you really strive for.
We try to elicit a feeling out of the audience. Hungry is not one of the usual.
If you're eliciting the feeling of hunger, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, no.
You're a terrible comedian.
You're just doing jokes about like chicken parm sandwiches.
Sure, but if they focus on the hunger over laughing, then...
Yeah, you're not doing your job.
Exactly. So even when I was putting the video together, I'm like, this is I can add this to my resume. I make people.
I might eat my resume.
Yeah. I make people's mouth water.
Yeah, you did a great job editing it, man. Putting it all together. We had audio issues. We literally got like one okay like take, and then we were gonna get one more take that we just crushed.
We nailed it.
The moment we started, like literally, I was like, okay, in 3, 2, before I went. I think a truck started heavily vacuuming.
Every New York sound came out at once.
Yeah, all of it. Cabs honking. A truck was vacuuming the ground. Cabs were honking at each other. It was insane. And you managed to clean up some of the audio. It was just great.
Yeah, also, let's keep in mind, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's working out great.
Yeah, by the way, if you guys are interested in doing YouTube videos, but you look at ours and go, well, I'll never have that much expertise, you already do. You already do. I mean, excuse me, more than anything, we're YouTubing how to film stuff for YouTube. I mean, I have... You know, we both have a little bit of experience behind the camera, but nothing compared to what we're doing and how fast we're turning this stuff around. We're learning on the fly.
DIY.
Yeah, baby. You know, Soccer Cooligans, very DIY. I mean, right before we started recording this podcast, we were painting a wall to do some green screen stuff.
We're getting the studio ready.
Yeah,
guys.
Baby. We're all over the place. We got a lot of stuff we're going to bring you. So get prepared for it. Why don't we go to break? We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what we don't want to talk about, which is the LA Galaxy. I think unfairly treating New York City Football Club.
I think some laws were broken.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, definitely. I felt assaulted and battered, and I wasn't even there, so I can only imagine. And David Villa, who didn't have the highest praise for his team afterwards. So we'll talk about that.
Finally, some real, you know, criticism.
Yeah, I mean, this will help. It's a New York-based team. You got to act like a New Yorker now. Exactly. Sorry. So that's it.
I'm not rude. This is just how I talk.
Yeah, this is it now. Okay, I'm being forward out of respect for you and your time and your feelings. So listen, guys, we'll be right back after this, and we'll talk more about the what we don't want to talk about.
It's a good day at the office. Good performance by the team. I thought at times the way we played, the way we moved the ball quickly, I thought it was fantastic. I thought as soon as Stevie got the ball, Junior playing the Geo Sweet, Murphy, and counter-attacking, it caused them a lot of problems.
Anytime you're in these kind of environments and you taste success, it's good. I think this is going to eventually become a norm in this league, not only here, but in all the venues around the league. And if anything today, I think it tells about the growth of this league and the kind of support we're getting in the markets. It's phenomenal.
NYCFC actually started off very well, probably dominating the first 15, 20 minutes and probably should have gotten a goal. But once the Galaxy scored, and especially when they got that second goal at the start of the second half, it was all over. The Galaxy really showing their class in this one.
So we're back.
Yeah, Cooligans.
I feel like every time we get back from a break, it's like,
remind everyone who we are.
Weirder and weird. Like people forgot what show they were listening to.
Yeah.
We gotta, for the break. Cool, guys, cool. Remember us?
Yeah, you're not listening to WTF. You are still listening to Cooligans.
Yeah, it was.
I think we're both avoiding talking about this.
I think that's what it is. Can we literally talk about anything else?
Yeah, anything else.
This was, so the NYCFC had a game against the Los Angeles Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it a game?
I mean, I don't. It didn't
we were
feel
toyed.
Like
we
it.
Were toyed with. I'll say that much.
Remember when you were a kid and the older kids would take your sports ball, whatever it was, baseball, basketball, and
I
toss
hated
it around.
When those times when those bullies took my sports ball. I was like, Mom, Mommy, Mommy,
Mama,
Mama, can you please tell them to give back my sports ball?
And she's like, maybe it's because you call it sports ball. I meant whatever sport you were playing, they would take the ball away from you and they would play keep away.
Yes.
And that's what it felt like. There was a one time in seventh grade, we had one kid in my seventh grade class who was 6'4" already. And the rest of us hadn't even gotten an erection yet. You know what I mean? Like, this guy was a monster. And the gym teacher thought it'd be a good idea to play a game where you throw the basketball off the backboard and getting the rebound and throwing it back up without touching the ground was a point.
Okay, like a tap-in.
Yeah, kind of, but like continuing to bang it off the backboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, in other words, it's sort of like keeping it up in the air. You can only catch it and launch it while you're in the air. You can't touch the ground. And we're all like, it sounds like a great idea. And then the guy who's 6'4" just kept jumping up, grabbing it, and lightly tossing it off the backboard. And the score was like 700-1 because we scored on the first time. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the LA Galaxy game felt like.
Overmatched.
Oh, boy.
Didn't we look overmatched?
And you know what? I've constantly talked about how great Shea Facey and Hernandez are together.
The back line was the most. I was the most disappointed by that. Not because there wasn't. Look, there's quality guys, and they know what they're doing, and they did stop a lot of shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not take.
I mean, Josh Saunders did as good as he possibly could.
The defensive line, they did all they could. They stopped. I mean, in the first half alone, it could have been 5-0.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was really what bugged me the most was the first goal. The first goal. There was a foul, and they started
quick replay.
They got started very, very quickly, and laziness. I don't know, not paying attention.
It really looked like all of the NYCFC players were woken up after the goal, and they were like, "Wait, what happened?"
I'm noticing this a lot more in soccer, in that if you're not paying attention, the game can be over. You can't take a break You can't mentally.
Yep.
Have like any kind of delay or any pause. You can't be frustrated with a call.
No,
because the game, while you're frustrated and complaining, the game is still going on.
Yeah, the game continues without you. And I think this is one of the issues that, as Arsenal fans, in the beginning they were getting upset with Mesut Ozil, because he seemed like he wasn't sort of getting back into the game after like the ball maybe was taken away or an errant pass. He seemed like he was being lazy. What some people might say about Pirlo.
Okay.
You know, that he doesn't sort of, if it doesn't go his way, he doesn't track back, although he seemed to be doing a lot of that in the beginning.
I think that's we can't really ask that of him. I don't think that's I don't think that's why he was brought to the team.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what Mix and Grabovoi, that's what they're for.
Well, Grabovoi, come on. But yeah, guys like RJ Allen, that's what they're known for, is that hustle. And I gotta be honest, I feel like our defense played better with RJ Allen and not Iraola. I mean, it's... I don't want to say it.
I don't want to say it either. I don't like Iraola. I don't think he's not a bad player. I think Angelino and Iraola, what their goal was, I think they want to have two center backs that are strong and can communicate, and then they want the wings to be offensive minded.
Right. And which then you have like a defensive midfielder that maybe you'll stay back like a Jacobson.
Jacobson, right?
So there's three defenders there, essentially.
But it's not really working. I think it essentially needs to be three center backs.
Yeah.
And one winger.
I think we need seven center backs and just long ball it to.
Yeah, I just don't think it works.
And I honestly don't know what can Frank Lampard come in and do that's not happening now. I mean, you know, I don't think he's not going to be up to speed. If we're not making the playoffs, why? Then they're going to run him out there. If we don't make the playoffs, if we get mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, they're going to run him out there because they want to sell those tickets to the last few matches.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of the other teams' fans are waiting for, to see what our support looks like if we don't make the playoffs. And to be completely honest, I'm nervous about it.
I'm very...
Because I think, the city of New York loves a winner. You know, granted, we haven't had, you know, the Knicks and the Mets are playing well this year, but every Mets fan you've ever talked to in your life is already thinking about how they're going to possibly F this up.
Yeah, we're comfortable with our emotional scars.
Yeah, yeah.
We know how to...
You guys don't want to win because it's too much.
Give us hope because we don't...
Exactly. You don't want to... You're like, I don't mind if we just lose from the beginning of the season on, because I don't have to worry about anything.
Exactly. It's like rather to have loved than lost. It's like just... Don't love us. Don't let us love already.
We lost already. Don't make us do that again. Yeah. my real fear is that sort of what happens there. You know, if that becomes reality. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, you know, the part that bothered me the most is we needed we needed at least a point from LA, from the LA Galaxy match.
We would have had a playoff spot if we got a point.
Yeah, and, you know, can this thing turn around? Sure, we need a lot of other people to lose, and, you know, it becomes this whole thing of, like, you're rooting for other teams to draw, one guy to get injured who's on the bench. It becomes a very weird thing.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully that doesn't happen, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I would love to make the playoffs. Only one expansion team in the MLS history has made the playoffs, which is Seattle Sounders. I would love to be able to.
How exciting would it be just for the MLS if NYCFC is in the playoffs and has a real chance? I mean, I don't think we could win the whole thing, but I think we could get out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other sport, you know, any other sports ball. Any other sport, I think, you know, the playoffs become another season. It's another, everyone's slate is clean. Everyone's on the same level at that point. Watching, you know, hopefully that happens. You know, watching Los Angeles Galaxy, one of the things that really amazed me was, one, their depth. Mm-hmm. And again, this goes back to, we need NYCFC too. We need one of these. We need an academy bad. I know we're going to be in Yankee Stadium for 5 years. By the end of those 5 years, we need to have youth academy set up, because they are using their depth all over the place. Red Bulls used it all over us. They beat us three matches in a row. I mean, granted, Galaxy are out buying whoever they want. They got, you know, they obviously have DeSantos. They have fucking Keane, who's considered to be the greatest DP of all time.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard's barely even involved in the game. Gerrard.
They didn't even need to get him.
No. And they actually, what's his name? Bruce Arena from Brooklyn. Bruce Arena said, you know, they don't need him to be a good player to be a good team. They don't need him to play well. Yeah. That's the difference between them and us. And yeah, we need Pirlo and David Villa to play well, or else we're not that good of a team. They don't need that because they have that depth. The other player they have, which, boy, did he make a name for himself, Leggett.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, Leggett. Leggett. Let's call him Leggett.
Yeah.
That's Leggett. Anyway, Leggett, I mean, boy, get him on the national team ASAP.
He looked incredible.
Attacking midfielder.
No one could keep up with him.
No. He was old. And, you know, he's one of those, he reminds me a lot of, like, one of those, like, roaming attacking midfielders that's like, oh, you need me to go forward? Yeah, I could play that role. Oh, you need me to hang out in the midfield? Yeah, I could do that. I don't want to say he's box to box. He's line to line. This guy's all over the place. He's goal to goal. I mean, he's all over the place. He broke down our team left and right. He made us look like absolute fools. So much so that I stopped worrying about NYCFC and was like, can we get this guy on Jurgen Klinsmann's squad?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had an attacking midfielder probably since Landon Donovan, you know, using Michael Bradley as that. We're not really using him as that. We're sort of using him as more. He should be in that Pirlo role.
Did Donovan play midfield or forward?
He played both. He was sort of roaming. He came in from an angle. I mean, he was mostly a forward, but as far as someone who, you know, when Josie was on the squad and Dempsey was on the squad and Dempsey was standing ahead of, you know, Landon Donovan was bringing it forward. Yeah. He sort of played that attacking midfielder role.
How about that Algeria goal?
Oh, man. I could watch that forever.
I remember I was in my room, in my bedroom, watching, you know, and this was like, I was by myself just watching midday, and when he scored that goal, I literally jumped on my bed like a 6-year-old.
I had moments before lied to someone on the phone and said I was working. I was doing a consulting gig for a company. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm out visiting customers. I'm standing in front of a bar in the Upper West Side, you know. And as soon as I got off the phone, I went inside, and like 2 minutes later, that goal happened. It was pretty awesome. Freaking out, making sure my phone was off. I mean, the bar was going nuts. USA chants all over the place. And by the way, I was like one of four actual soccer fans.
Yeah.
That was when the tide started to turn seeing now.
Yeah, I felt that. That was what, 2006?
No, that was 2010.
Oh, that was 2010. Yeah.
I was so upset that we needed that to beat a team like Algeria. I was like, I thought, like, come on, we got to be better than this. But whatever, we did it. But yeah, I mean, we could do it again if we get get in there.
It is bittersweet. You get to see you know, good talent, but you don't want them to demolish your club team.
Yeah, that's like that guy's got a huge dong. Well, get it out of my mom's hands. You know, it's kind of what it felt like. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that almost seems like whenever we meet people with large penises, we're like, well, thank God. Like,
yeah, well,
thank God you exist. Thank God I found you.
It's like you're watching a porn. You're like, man, that dude's destroying that lady. And you're like, I know that lady. Get out of there, mom. It's how it felt. It was like, you're proud of what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you're like, why does it have to be happening to something I love? That's a very odd scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Thank God my mother doesn't pay attention to anything I do, or else she would hear that and be upset.
But yeah. You know, always is always the next game. You know, we're not out of it yet.
No.
We're in the seventh spot out of, you know, we have to be in the sixth.
Yeah.
To make it to the playoffs. We're most likely.
We're there. We're knocking on the door.
We're not getting, I don't think we'll make fifth.
No.
I think that'll be very, very difficult. But sixth, there's a chance. We got to hope Montreal just loses a bunch. But they also
have, like, 38 games in hand.
Well, yeah, they have three games in hand. Yeah, they have three games less than we do.
Yeah.
It's
going to be nail biters across New York City.
This is it. You know, we started this podcast and we were excited and optimistic about having a new team. That's sort of gone.
Yeah, that newness, they're here. They know what's happening.
And now we have to deal with the ups and downs.
Yeah.
Of supporting a soccer club.
Boy. Right away, first year.
We're in one of the valleys.
This is it. Okay. Well, look, I mean, I want to have a positive spin to this for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing to remember is that it's not completely over.
That's a good sign.
You know, there's still a chance. You've woken up, you've been buried alive, but you're alive.
We'll see the next game. We'll see if this did anything.
Yeah, David Villa called his team out, said, I can't do it alone. Let's see how they react to that.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens now.
And he does look like he's doing it alone, or not. Not that there's nobody else on the pitch with him, but there's certain times, especially after the third goal, there were times when he probably should have passed it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no,
he doesn't have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
It feels like it's just him and Poku out there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, look, Mix is working really hard. Okay, look, there's a lot of positives to this team right now. No one thought we were gonna win. Everyone thought we were gonna win the championship. But here's the thing. Look, we have an amazing team. We're gonna have a great next season. For right now, let's try. And everyone come out to the games. Let's everyone support the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's everyone do everything we can. Sing a little louder.
There's three or four home games left.
Yeah, not many. Let's just do as much as we can.
They need it.
Root these boys on.
They need us.
Oh, boy, do they. They need us to get out on that pitch, probably. but let's hope that us singing, chanting, and banging on drums as hard as we can, sort of wills them to a win.
It's working.
Yeah, boy. Come on, Poku. Do it all yourself.
all right. So we'll be back in a second. We'll talk some Premier League stuff it was a fun little weekend.
Fun little weekend. We'll talk a little bit about Premier League, and we'll stop talking about the NYCFC loss.
We'll look at some other teams who can disappoint us.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I'll see you in a bit.
All right, we're back. Let's talk a little about, more positivity.
Here. Yeah, let's cheer up, smiles.
Yes, and let's talk about the Premier League.
Yes.
Where my team, Arsenal, not off to the greatest of starts, but not a terrible start.
That's right, they did win.
Yeah, we drew. Yeah, we drew.
Are these the first points? No, you won last week.
Yeah, we won last week. So we lost the first one, mm-hmm. won last week, drew this one.
Okay.
So we're sitting on 4 points. Which isn't terrible, you know?
Yes, could be worse. Who's in Man City's in first?
Yeah, I mean, right now, none of this really matters. You know,
that's what they say.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how it works.
That's for damn sure. That's what I'm saying.
You know, the Premier League is much newer to me. I'm learning the culture behind it and how.
What do you think so far? You've watched a lot more matches this week than I could.
What I do like and what I feel like MLS doesn't have is, I guess, because of playoffs, the regular season is not clearly not as important to some degree. Like
in MLS,
it's not talked about the same way. As when Chelsea lost their first game, that was like, whoa, is Chelsea done? Are, you know, should they be demoted to a
fire
lower league?
Every physio on that team.
See, MLS does not have that. Which is, you know, something I'm not particularly used to.
Well, there's also the balanced schedule. And I know we've talked about this before. In the Premier League, you play every single team twice. Once in your house, once in their house.
Yeah.
So if you look at that laid out over an entire season, it becomes, you know, it becomes important to try to draw away. So try to get at least a point while you're away and beat them at your house. And, you know, it leads to more of building sort of a home advantage, a home pitch advantage, you know, making, you know, making your house, you know, sort of I can't think of the word that I'm trying to say, where it's like, you know, not shatterproof, but hard to win in, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting because there's more games in... you know, in an MLS season and a Premier League season. But it's similar to the importance of every game that there is in the NFL. NFL is only 16 games.
So yeah, exactly.
Every single game is very crucial up until the 14th, 15th week. You don't know if you're in the playoffs or not.
Right.
But from the first game in the Premier League season seems as important as the final game of a NFL season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know,
the way people talk about it.
Yeah, it's extremely important. And, you know, I mean, when you think about the little amount of time these guys have off between seasons, I mean, you know, constant pressure for all of these players. But, yeah, I mean, it leads to a much more passionate and a much more sort of anticipatory feeling when you're watching these games.
Yeah.
And not to say that the MLS doesn't have that, but it's a different feeling because they're sort of like we're like, hey, we just have to finish in sixth to get a shot. Where if you're Arsenal, it's considered at this point, this season has to be considered a failure if you don't win the league, because we've been in the top four for the last 10 years, 11 years. I mean, we get it. You know, we've been invincible once. Arsene Wenger hasn't really done anything to get us over that hump. We're hoping we buy a striker. Doesn't look like it's going to happen.
It was a big kerfuffle about Karim Benzema.
Yeah, Benzema's not coming. He posted a very badly translated tweet that said, you know, all the clowns who make believe to my fans, this is my home, which could be one of two things. There was never a chance for Arsenal to get him, or he is going to Arsenal. And that was the last gasp way of keeping everyone all sort of, you know, off of his heels so they don't bid higher.
I don't get the politics. Not even necessarily the politics, but what is the role of the player when there's transfer rumors? What can they really do? Because maybe they don't want to go, but they don't really have a say in that, right?
Yeah, I mean, they can sort of inspire that. I mean, nobody wants to have a player in their locker room that doesn't want to be there. Nobody wants to have that guy on the pitch.
Yeah.
So if it's understood that they don't want to be there, they can hand in a transfer request, which Rooney famously did a couple years ago, even though he ended up not leaving.
Mm. Where did he want to go? Did he want to go to a particular place?
There were so many rumors up in the air about who was going to take him. I personally could definitely see him at PSG.
Okay.
But that was it. You know, sort of Arsenal had a shot at him for a while.
Can't picture him in any other uniform.
Luis Suarez very famously went to the newspaper to say, like, you know, Liverpool won't let him leave and he wanted to go to Arsenal real bad. Well, then now he's doing really well at Barcelona, so good for him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, Arsenal had a shot. We bid £40 million for him because his team was under the impression that that was his contract, had a release clause at – well, sorry, it's £40 million, £40 million and £1. We put an extra dollar in there. So anything over £40 million, they had to listen to. Well, they were wrong. It was the contract was written that after £40 million, then they would have to discuss it. And they decided that they didn't want to sell. That was a discussion. So Arsenal was like, "You're being lied to." He went to the newspaper, all sad, terrible. You know, it was a whole back and forth, and, you know, he stayed on the team for another season, and he ended up moving to Barcelona the next season anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of soap opera kind of...
Yeah, a lot of drama.
Which
is like what the fans want, though.
But in American sports, trades are like, there might be a little bit of a rumor, but for the most part, they're kind of surprises. You're like, oh my God, like, he's gone, and... But
and to do like-kind exchanges, it's like one player for like three maybe not superstar players, but yeah. one of those players ends up being better. It's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, you know,
dissecting trades in the future.
In the U.S., there's clearly a lot more done behind the scenes, just under the table, just so you don't want to just sort of ruin the player you have. You don't want him to be... what's the word?
Discouraged?
Discouraged, but when you have a disgruntled.
Disgruntled, yeah, absolutely.
That's really the main thing.
That was close.
But when it seems like that can easily happen
yeah.
in the Premier League.
Also, don't forget, I mean, England is a very tabloid-based
oh, yeah, monsters.
Media pool.
The Sun, so. What is it, The Sun?
Yeah, all of them.
Just, yeah, yeah. horrible human
the
beings.
The Sun probably the most.
They were the ones that were tapping people's phones and mm-hmm. listening to voicemails.
Yeah.
And they got in trouble because of that. The girl who died, and then they went into her voicemail.
Yeah.
And played a voice.
Like, Rupert Murdoch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Fox News.
Horrible human beings.
Yeah, News Corp. Terrible people. Please, unless you want to sponsor the podcast, then I take back everything I just said.
Show us a figure. Yeah. Slip a piece of paper with a number
on
it.
In the most News Corp way, we will stop saying anything you want.
We will
say whatever you want about you as long as you pay us to say it. But yeah, I mean, you know, their league is built around that sort of country's, you know, sort of energy, if you will. And that energy is very tabloid-based. And yeah. also, you know, if one thing goes wrong, all hell has broken loose. But in a very sort of snide, maybe not snide, but in a very upper, stiff upper lip sort of way. Where they're like, well, you know, and then I guess the season's total loss here. And this is it. And yeah, I should have never been a fan of this team. And screw my family for making me a fan of this club. And yeah, that's sort of the way they go about doing it, which is a little different than the way we do it here.
But I'm still optimistic and I'm still interested in the league.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of me trying to decide what club I want to support.
I am heavily pushing Arsenal. I don't know if it's working.
Wait, I'm taking in, I am literally, you know, at the moment, uninfluenced. I'm going to make a decision solely based on, you know, both teams' Wikipedia entries.
Well, then you know what to do, Gooners. Get on that Wikipedia and put, you know, the most Dominicans on a club ever. Because that may
like,
help.
Ooh, this is interesting. Yeah. This is, I just added 6 minutes ago.
So Big Poppy was on the team? That's odd.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That would definitely, you know, sway me.
Yeah. I mean, this is just to make my life easier to have another gooner involved. There really is no benefit to having
Christian. You guys call yourselves gooners?
Yeah. Being a gooner is the fan.
I didn't know that.
Great name, right?
Okay. I mean, whatever. It's fine.
It's kind of cool. All right.
I mean, the most research I've been doing is on Arsenal and Everton.
Yeah.
So
Liverpool's out?
Liverpool's out. I haven't researched them as much.
Good. All right. So, let's just call them out. They're out of the running.
Yeah. So I think it's Everton and Arsenal. And I've been looking up the history of both teams.
Very impressive history.
Yeah. Very impressive. We were talking about, I was just talking about the crest and all the development of all the different crests, all the... how the teams started. It's all pretty fascinating. A lot of history, a lot of culture.
You know what? I remember doing a lot of this research earlier on when I first became a fan of the league. And a lot of this was like, you know, like early on websites, like, you know, Geocities and stuff like that when I was really young. But I just remember thinking like it probably wasn't this exciting then when all of this was happening. It's a bunch of guys in a cannon factory, you know what I mean? And we're all like, "Whoa, it's so romantic."
They just
to think
like
about,
just a bunch
you
know. Of you have gunpowder all over them. Yeah, and they're just and like, they're "Yeah, like, let's kick a ball."
You guys
want
to kick a leather ball around in between working 18-hour shifts? Yeah, right.
Like just every game, like three workers would die on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, we gotta.
You know, I guess we have an opening.
Call HR.
Yeah, yeah. The fans in the stands were just people who were hoping to get jobs. So as soon as somebody died, they were all line up in front of HR.
Just step over a body.
Yeah. Poor Charlie. I mean, so it's kind of like romantic to look back at it now.
Yeah.
But you can imagine that all those guys smelled really bad.
You know, I think the, you know, I don't know exactly how fraught with, you know, segregation or racism or, you know, was a part of British soccer history. I don't know if it existed at all. The main thing is like looking at the history of the Premier League and just soccer in the UK, it's not as sad as looking up American sports history.
Yeah.
Just the Jackie Robinson stories.
Yeah.
The Negro League.
Well, you read about, like, you know, what, 30, 40 years of baseball history, and they're like, and they finally let minorities play. And you're like, whoa, they didn't mention that the first 8 chapters of this book?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Was Babe Ruth that good?
It's a little bit of a warmer, look back.
I mean, it is and it isn't, because, I mean, England didn't really have any minorities until, you know.
Yeah, they had no one to be racist against.
Yeah, no. There was
the Irish.
Well, yeah. Who hasn't? Everybody loves firefighters. Those were all cops, I think, actually. Well, they were both here.
Okay, you're in too deep.
I'm in a weird. I was just remembering Pope of Greenwich Village, where all the Italian guys are like street kids, and the cops show up, and they're all Irish. So it's kind of funny.
Okay,
and that was only 1982. but yeah, I mean, they really have those issues until recently, and boy is racism an issue in world soccer. Especially in other countries, but whatever, we'll get over that, I suppose. Something the MLS doesn't really have to deal with.
We talked about this before, which is kind of nice. It is kind of nice that it isn't part of even part of the game. I mean, yeah, sir, you have some douchey people, drunk sports, idiots,
Philadelphia fans.
You get in every, they come with every sport. That's just the nature of it. But there's something sweeter where you can like. Go to a game and you can bring your kid, your family, and you might hear deplorable things said to the players.
Sure.
But none of them will include the N-word. I promise.
Yeah, probably very rare that would happen. Also, I would say that, I was listening to the radio on the way to your place, and they were talking about how teams are upset that the Mets have such a very active traveling fan base.
They get about like 700 to 1,000 fans
in Europe. England is a tiny country, so it's easier, but in European soccer, that's standard. There's each stadium has an away fan section, mostly because they'd be murdering each other if they sat mixed up the way we do.
But
the idea of that is very different in in the EPL, but it's a cool, fun league, and it's very exciting, and every match counts. And I think the next step for you is to go to an Everton bar, which is going to be boring, and and go to a Gooner bar, which maybe is going to be exciting.
You know what, I'll do that. Well, I can't do that. I can't go to both in 1 week.
You might be able to,
unless
actually.
They play on different days.
Or they play at different times. You can spend
2 hours
at an Everton bar. I gotta go to an Arsenal match.
Make sure I change my outfit.
You know what? Wear
a neutral color.
Wear all white. Just show up in all white. I'll
show up in a wedding dress.
yeah. A wedding dress.
I am a virgin. I have not been. Yeah.
You've not chosen a team yet. So your team cherry, your club cherry has not been popped. Yeah. What a better way to end this podcast than to say your club cherry hasn't been popped.
Okay, so let's say hopefully either next week or the week after, I will have decided. Hopefully next week, if the teams play on different days, I will select my team.
Here we go.
And we will announce it on the show.
Beautiful.
It's going to be great.
I'm excited. I know it's going to be Arsenal, so I'm fine.
Who knows?
I hope it is, just because then I have to talk to you about everything.
Work on those Wikipedia entries. That is literally what's going to be the deciding factor.
Can we put reggaeton music over the page so when you log on, that's what you hear?
Ooh, I like this one.
Is that bachata on the Arsenal page? That is wonderful.
Is the opening theme song to Arsenal's when they come out of the tunnel Gasolina by Daddy Yankee?
By Daddy Yankee. Also, there's been 7 players who've nicknamed themselves Baina. So you're gonna love this team.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
Listen, I can tell you there's a lot of fans who call certain players Baina throughout the entire match. This has been an exciting episode. Let's go back to what we talked about in the beginning. Guys, check out our taste test video. It's absolutely awesome. We're getting a lot of great feedback from it. We love your feedback. Let us know what you think. You could
comment.
Tweet us.
Yeah, also comment on the video.
We're getting a lot of likes on it, but we're not getting a lot of comments. Get in there on comments. I don't know what we are as far as views, and if I say it now anyway, it's going to be dated by the time you listen to this, but get in there and watch it. It's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun making it. We absolutely love it.
Also, soccercooligans.com is up and running.
Yeah, I mean, coming at you. I mean, get in there.
We got we got the site.
It's not finished, but it's up.
The content is there. We're slowly making updates, adding things. But it is a functional website.
Oh boy!
With that's access, all you need. With direct access to the Cooligans.
So, it's gonna be so much fun.
We're at it. This is a DIY soccer comedy duo.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Very much so.
And guys, our green screen is almost done. Wait till that goes up.
You guys are going to love. We're going to take pictures of the green screen.
So yeah, we're not actually going to film any green screen stuff.
Not content. We just...
We like the way the color looks.
We're doing a...
we're like Bert and Ernie at this point.
We're doing a commercial for, Brooklyn Painters.
Yeah.
The most hilarious soccer comedy duo painters.
Food, soccer, comedy, painting. I mean, what else? At some point, we're going to become Jamaican with so many jobs.
We're going to have to get like 8.5 by 11 business cards. It's going to be so much.
Our business card is going to be a resume. All right, guys, I absolutely love all of the fans. Christian doesn't, but I do.
Yeah, I'm a horrible human being.
Thank you so much. Thanks to number 7 sub for letting us film.
The Howler magazine for putting, just getting the sandwich made.
Absolutely.
It was delicious. Go check out number 7 subs. Ask for the PLO. Say the Cooligan sent you.
Two locations, Ace Hotel and the Plaza Hotel Food Hall.
That's right. There is also one in Williamsburg, but they are not
the sandwich yet.
Oh, wait. No, actually, I got a picture from... our buddy Jonathan Morvay,
very funny comic,
took a picture of the
sandwich board
up front, and it said now serving the Pirlo.
Oh, okay, so now you can get it in 3 locations.
Yeah, and the Williamsburg one.
Try their other sandwiches as well. Get yourself a Pirlo and get a friend something else. They have one with General Tso's chicken in it. There's awesome. There's some spicy ones, and then go half and half, split one and split the other. And here's what I would ask you guys to do: comment on what you thought how the sandwich tasted.
Yeah,
go to our video and tell us how what you thought the sandwich was like. Was it good? Was it bad? Rated from one scale 1 to 10. Polanco and I loved it. So
yeah,
we hope you love it.
Talk about how ridiculous it is, how much Alexis knows about the Genoa region of Italy.
Yeah, just the salami, though. which is, I'm not going to say it. All right, bad joke was about to come out. Guys, listen, enjoy the rest of your days. Thanks so much for listening. We are the Cooligans.
We are the Cooligans.
If you do watch our video, subscribe.
Subscribe, do all that
subscribe
stuff.
To the podcast. Like us, follow us, do everything. Love us.
Touch me, tease me, drive me crazy.
Yeah. Little case for you. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Peace.